from UALR Public Radio and the Argenta Arts Foundation. This is a Tales from the South Tin Roof Project, recorded in front of a live audience at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas. This week, it's an intimate dinner with a notable Southerner on our unrehearsed show, telling their story as if they were sitting on the porch with you. So sit back, relax, and reconnect with the power of a story. Now, let's go live to Tales from the South.
Whoa, whoa, we'll knock three times, and if you don't hear it say, yeah, you know where to find me. There's one bar town, you know where to find me. There's one bar town.
So how's everybody doing tonight? How about tonight's music by the Salty Dogs? What y'all think? Y'all like the Salty Dogs? They have CDs for sale after the show, and more can be heard at thesaltydogs.net. All right, well, welcome to Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, and to a very special edition of Tales from the South, a monthly series we call the Tin Roof Project, where well-known Southerners bring their own true stories to life. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, all right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm your host, Paula Morell. On my left here, strumming his 1931 National Resonator, is blues guitarist Mark Simpson. Mark wrote our theme music and plays for us live each week. And how about our set back here? What do y'all think about our set? These genuine screen doors from the Arkansas Delta with mixed media portraiture are by esteemed Arkansas artist V.L. Cox from her Images of the American South collection. A portion of the proceeds from the sale of these works goes to Tales from the South. More can be seen at her website, greatfineart.com. All right, are y'all ready for some Southern-style storytelling? Monica Staggs grew up in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Her senior year in college, Monica got to work on a film that came to Little Rock called Shelter, where she was the stand-in for the lead actress as well as landing a small part. Monica got her big break when she was luckily offered the chance to be the lead actress's stunt double. She rode passenger as a car ran off an embankment, crashing through trees, stopping just before a lake. Getting a taste for the thrill of the film business, 3 weeks later, Monica flew to LA for the first time and worked on her second film. She fell in love with Los Angeles and everything about it. As soon as she returned to Arkansas, she announced she was moving to LA, and 2 weeks later, she did so on a plane, not knowing a soul, with three large duffel bags, a fork, a knife, and a bath towel. Within 3 weeks of moving to LA, Monica was lucky enough to land her third film. She began training in other areas of stunt work, such as stunt driving, martial arts, stunt fights, and boxing. She has spent the last 20 years living and working in LA. Monica has done stunt work on more than 100 film and television productions, including Kill Bill 2, Crash, The Italian Job, Bewitched, Starship Troopers, Charlie's Angels, Transformers, and many, many more. She has won numerous awards and accolades for her stunt work. And at the 2005 MTV Movie Awards, she was brought to the stage by Quentin Tarantino to share the award for Best Fight in Kill Bill 2. She is a board member of the Stunt Women's Association. Monica lives in LA with her husband and is working on her first book entitled Death Doll. We are thrilled to have Monica back in North Little Rock for this very special show. Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible Monica Staggs.
I'm so glad to be here tonight. I came to talk about how Arkansas prepared me to make it in Hollywood. And only Arkansas could have prepared me to make it in Hollywood. And only being deemed a redneck by those people in Hollywood could have made me a stunt woman out there. Because let me tell you, when I got there and they heard my accent, they were making jokes left and right about Clinton, about Monica Lewinsky. Even I was like, I'm not even in the same hair color group as her. They didn't know Shianola about Arkansas. They thought Arkansas was kind of like Texas. Ooh! They thought I was from Texas. They thought I was from Georgia. They thought that I said when I was going to wear my boots, they meant my kicker boots. But that's not what I meant. I meant boot boots. I was like, not all of us line dance. Not all of us rope cows. Not all of us tip cattle. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff. Little Rock is a city. Maybe you should Google map it, but that wasn't around then. I got hazed from everybody, but it worked because men love the redneck accent. Now, when a guy has an accent out there like that, that's unfortunate for him. But men love it, thank goodness, because all the girls sound the same. They sound hard and mean and just the facts and whatever. I can't even do it. I can't even do it. I refuse to do it. I refuse to change my accent. I have refused. I will not change it. I will not. I will not. I will not. I've been asked if I was Australian several times. I'm like, Australian? I guess. But it worked. It worked for me. It worked growing up in this city. It worked hanging out at Sylvan Hills. It worked riding around in trucks that didn't have seat belts. It worked riding around in the back of trucks that didn't have seat belts. You know, that all worked for my stunt work. I just didn't know it at the time. You know, I had no idea I was going to become a stunt woman. I had no clue there were stunts. I had no clue that anybody else did anything. I thought Captain Kirk and all those people were doing their own stunts. That's how clueless we were. And not only on our first film here, we had somebody riding around following everybody going, this is a grip. A grip does this. I mean, you couldn't have looked more bad to the Hollywood people. I think they were kind of laughing at us. Just a little bit. It worked for me because I was plucky. And I wasn't going to let some Hollywood person insult my state and insult me and insult my accent and insult where I went and insult my redneckness and insult my kickers, excuse my language, or anything about my Arkansas-ness and my rough and tumble beginning. I just wasn't, because I kind of had a mouth from the South. And you know, we say what we mean down here. We keep it real, because if you lie down here back in the day, in my day, you know, if you told a lie, well, pretty much everybody was going to know about it, because pretty much everybody knew you, or pretty much everybody knew somebody that knew you that knew you that knew you. So you weren't going to get away with it for very long. So I told the truth. So that is what helped me get there in this weird, strange way. Being truthful about what I could do, what I thought I could do, and also being polite. Being polite and having Southern manners. Being a polite girl who, like, would say, even though her head was busted open almost on take one, when the stunt coordinator came out and was like, you're going to the hospital after this when you check your wig for blood. I'm like, ha, ha. He's like, you got another one in you? I'm like, well, yeah, because that's what we do. Even though we're about to die and we're bleeding, Southerners say, yes. Yes, I have another one in me. I can hit that pavement again. Yes, of course, I will do it. I'll take care of it later if I get to the hospital on time. Awesome. How bad could it be? And that's what got me through my stunt career, because I got known as a girl who would hit the ground hard. I got a reputation as like a go-for-it girl. And I had them ask me, you're not a diva, are you? I'm like, well, kind of I'm a diva, but I just guess I'll keep that to myself. you know, I've been in plays and stuff. You're not an actress, are you? I'm like, actually, I am an actress, but I guess I'll keep that to myself. You're not dating the stunt coordinator, are you? I was like, no, I'm dating an airplane pilot. They're like, airplane pilot? What airplane company does he fly for? I'm like, whoops. But they never caught on to that. All they cared about was I a diva? Was I dating a stunt coordinator? And did I secretly want to be an actress? To which I had the decency to say no, 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 and no. You know what I mean? Because I was Southern. I don't know. It just worked out. I just got lucky. I had the decency to go up there and do it. I had the redneck hardcoreness of my childhood and my stint at Sylvan Hills High School. Golly, Sylvan Hills was a redneck high school. I mean, I'd go there tomorrow because they helped me be who I am today. This state helped me be who I am today. If I hadn't grown up in Arkansas and overcome all kinds of stuff, overcome all kinds of no opportunities for a girl like me here, I entered every contest there was. Barbizon model, this model, poncho ad, you bet I'm going to try out for it. I entered everything to get out of this, blow this pop stand. I mean everything. Miss Hawaiian Tropic, you betcha. I didn't even know it was a trashy bikini contest. I didn't even know. I took it seriously. I was making my earrings for weeks for that pageant. I'm going to get on to why I think Arkansas is better than Los Angeles, which is a radical shift for me because I used to think that Arkansas was just no good. And I used to think LA was the place. But you have to remember, you can't forget who you are. And I forgot who I was. I went out there trying to be me, and trying to be me out there was impossible. Because I was modest and hardworking and all these things. And modest and hardworking got me a skull fracture 4 times and a fractured eye socket and a broken back and all these injuries and multiple concussions and trips to the hospital. That's what that got me, modest and hardworking out there. And if I'd continued, I would be the death doll. And this death doll, as I call myself, does dance. And I'm lucky to walk, let alone dance. You know, you forget who you are when you go out there, and all it is out there is a 100-mile-wide high school. That's it. It just hit me. It just hit me this last round where I was getting my butt kicked 8 ways a Sunday, and I was like, this kind of sucks. It just kind of sucks. There's no way around it. Like blood, bones breaking, stuff falling off of you, concussions, maybe not, maybe so, not blacking out. I don't know. It's just kind of after a while it takes a toll, like an NFL player, except you don't get the NFL player, you know, creds. You're just a stunt woman. So when you go out there and you forget who you are and you let that town take that away from you, and that town will take it away from you. There is a reason it's called Welcome to the Jungle. If you forget that you are a sweet, honest, hardworking A student with nice girlfriends, even though you go to a redneck school, with decent parents, even though you go to a redneck school, and all that good stuff about North Little Rock, if you forget that when you go out to that jungle, wherever it may be, it's going to bring you down. So you just have to understand, L.A., well, I'll just let L.A. fill in the blank for you guys. L.A., I'll take Arkansas. You have to drive 2 hours to see a tree in L.A. next to another tree. There are no woods. There's no bugs. There's no locusts. There's no There's none of that. There's none of it. I play golf, and I suck at golf. I've cracked my driver. I air whiff the ball. I go to the golf course just to be kind of on the woods. That's all I care about, being on some grass and seeing some trees. You cannot get that there. there is not a spare space of anything that is not taken up by some atrociously designed something or other. Do not forget where you came from. You will notice it. One day it will happen. Do not forget. Do not let them take advantage of your niceness, your decency, all these things that we embrace in that state. I had one guy tell me, don't downplay your abilities. And I'm like, downplay my abilities? I'm just being modest. That's what we do in the South. We don't brag. He's like, well, that's seen as insecurity here. What? You have to brag about yourself constantly. You have to lie about yourself constantly. If you don't, you do not work. How sad is that? And you forget which lie you told. You're like, how old did I say I was yesterday for that other thing? Oh, right. I'm supposed to be what? And now I've realized I've zenned out. I hit it when I waited tables. I hit it when I worked at Dillard's. I finally zenned out. I got it. I've seen through the matrix. I'm not scared. I am not scared anymore. I have faced down death. I am death proof. I don't see those directors, I don't see those producers as anything else but guys at Sylvan Hills High School in various forms and shapes. And I give them nicknames, and I talk to them however I please. And if they don't like it, they can fire me. They'll have to come after me on their own, which they won't do because I'll be waiting for them. Because guess what? I have a huge residual base coming in now. And even if I didn't, I'll figure out something else to do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Monica Staggs, for being on our Tin Roof Project at Tales from the South. All right, so you've been in over 100 movies and television shows. What was your favorite movie that you worked on, or what was the best job that you've had, I guess we'll put it that way?
Oh, probably this movie called Sorority Boys, because we got to just act so silly, and they thought I was really young. I got cast in it when I was like 29. They thought I was of sorority girl age, which was really exciting to begin with, and then we just got to play... We got to play powder puff football and do all these silly girly stunts, and I got to play this complete bimbo with this Texas hair helmet wig, and I was just a bimbo, and I had all these dumb lines, but it was just so cupcake, you know. We got to beat up boys. We got to tackle guys, punch them. It was really great. So it was really easy and cute and fun, lighthearted. Nothing that was going to make you go to the hospital. It was a great movie.
Well, on the flip side of that, what's your worst experience, or what's the worst job that you've had?
Well, Kill Bill was tough because I broke my back right at the beginning of the scene. Right at the beginning, opening scene of our scene in the trailer, she kicked me in the chest, kicked me into stereo, broke my back. I didn't know my back was broken. We did the whole rest of the movie. I had a broken back. I got the front x-rayed. So I thought, well, I'm fine, you know, because everybody said, there's nothing you can do about broken ribs. So I just kept on going, and it really was hard. It hurt. But that probably wasn't the worst. The worst was when I fractured my skull in four places, jumping out of that moving semi-truck. And I never lost consciousness, which was horrible. I kept begging the guy, you know, dose me, please. I'd never broken anything before that. I wanted to pass out. I didn't. It was the longest ride to the hospital, and then they still wouldn't take me out. They had to scrub stuff out of my head. They wouldn't dose me. It seemed like an eternity, and I really thought my neck was broken. It was pretty horrible, and I was dumb. I was pretty dumb too. After that, I was pretty slow for about a year. I just really was kind of just like about 2 or 3 seconds behind everybody catching on to things. So it did a number on my head.
Hmm. Well, on your website, I noticed that it says, among other things that you do, you fall hard.
Yes, I do fall hard.
You catch on fire.
I do catch on fire.
You do car crashes.
I do car crashes. Car crashes are great, though. I mean, car crashes are easy because you're in a car. So usually the car's tricked out pretty well. and you've got a five-point harness on, and you're pretty insulated, and if the coordinator is a decent coordinator, he's, like, reinforced. I've been hit by a semi in a car. I mean, usually those are fun because you're in control, and I'm a good driver. So, I mean, car crashes are actually awesome.
So all of these skills that you have, most of us avoid.
Right.
And right? So what's the craziest stunt that you've ever done for you? Like, what would you call the craziest thing you've ever done?
My death jump, because my husband talked me into doing this stunt where we were going to jump building to building. It was like 70 feet up, and I hate heights. And so we were 70 feet up, 12 feet apart. There's a 3-foot differential, but like we practiced it on the ground, and we had boxes down there, but basically if you missed, you'd splat to the other building, and then you'd slide down and kind of land in the boxes. So there was no, that's why I was calling it the death jump. I was like, are you trying to kill me? Because I'm going first and you're jumping second. I was like, what's going to happen after I die? Like, is it like a rap? But we were practicing on the ground, and I was only making it by 6 inches every time we practiced, no matter how hard I ran. And 6 inches is not a lot 7 feet up. I mean, 70 feet up. 7 feet up is bad enough, but 70 feet up is really bad. And I had to lie to my parents. I could not tell my mom and dad, who are sitting right there. If I told my mom and dad that I was doing that stunt, I think my mom, when I did tell her, started bawling and was like, I would have paid you the money that, you know, how much money did you get? And I would have paid you the money to do it. And I was pretty nervous about that because, again, I hate heights, and it was just a free run. He built a ramp up, and, you know, you're just hoping that you don't go to a Wile E. Coyote where you run off and, like, your feet are like in the air. Because I knew about it way too long out. I knew a week out. It was horrible. It was the most horrible week of my life. I had a whole week to know about that stunt. And I just was like, he had set it up and we went off the roof. So we practiced it a lot. I mean, he wasn't really trying to kill me, I don't think. I mean, he set it up off the roof so we could do it. But it was weird because at the last second, he had hired his friend to do the jump for him because he was the stunt coordinator. And his friend was like, looked up, and he was like, there's no, why are you, where's your safety harness? You have a cable or anything? Like, and he's like, no, and it's a free jump. And he was like, no way am I doing that. I'm sorry, dude, like, no way. So, I mean, when he, and he's talented, this guy can do like the, you know, he's in martial arts movies. He could do anything. He turned that down. I was like, I'm in trouble, you know. So I was scared. I mean, I was really, really scared because I was like, there's no, this is not a recoverable one. But I made it. I made it by my 6 inches, and I splatted forward like a little frog, and I was so excited. I didn't have to do any, I only had to do one take. It's for a nothing movie, four dogs playing poker. Nobody's seen it. But if you do see it, when Olivia Williams jumps the building, that's me. And I did it. Because I took dance all my life from Sally Riggs, so I did it. Which I forgot. I forgot to mention that before. She's kind of what, you know, got me, you know, into the stunts, because obviously I took ballet, tap, and jazz from her since the age of 8. But when I jumped that roof, the set photographer took a photograph, and I'm in perfect second position. Doing like a grand jeté, like a grand jeté. Like I just, that's all I knew was grand jeté over the roof. Who knew I did a grand jeté? I've got my arms out, the two legs. I mean, it was awesome. Okay, you couldn't have told me I did a grand jeté if he hadn't taken that picture. So I've got that picture. It's on the internet. Grand jeté. Thank you, Sally.
All right, well, we have just a few minutes here at the end for audience questions.
I don't hear you mention being in True Blood, and that's one of my favorites, and I know you did that.
True Blood?
Or at least I saw your name.
Did I do True Blood? Oh, yeah, I did do True Blood.
Okay,
I
just...
I've done it twice.
Okay, I knew
I've
I saw
I've got a lot
your...
of concussions. You have to understand.
Okay, I'm watching the show.
A lot of the hard drive is gone.
I'm watching the show, and I was like, oh, my gosh, Tom's daughter. I know your dad. And so I want to hear about that.
Okay, well, I did True Blood. I doubled the queen, okay, whatever her name, Pam, the vampire, whatever her name is, whatever. I can't figure, there's a lot of vampire queens. So I had to throw myself up against a stripper pole over and over and over as if I'd been thrown into a stripper pole, but backwards. So it really sucked because I just had to kind of just like launch myself and hope that I hit the pole. And I missed a lot because, you know, stripper pole is only like that big. So, yeah, and I did that right before I got married in Vegas. So I had all these really classy bruises all over me like I was a domestic violence victim. But I still got married. And now the second time, I just did True Blood again, like last time I was in L.A. about a month ago. I play a fang banger this time. But I'm just a drunken fang banger. You will not recognize me. I have on a black, like, little bob wig. And I'm just phased out. And this girl smashes right in front of me. So I'm moving up, I guess, because now I'm like a character.
Yes, Ms. Staggs, your comments were delivered off the cuff. There was no written text or anything. It appeared that that was a very cathartic moment for you. Have you ever made those remarks out loud on radio before in your entire life?
No. I'm very off the cuff. I used to do a little bit of stand-up in L.A. before I got, like, my head fractured and this and that. And then I got pulled off to go on location to a couple places. And the comics life is almost as bad as the stunt life. And all the comics hated me because I was a stunt woman. They thought I should be like, unless you're like sweeping a parking lot, then they hate you. And I love comedy, but you have to stay out every night till like 2 a.m. You got to go around, hit every club. And I just was like, I'm too happy at home already for this, you know. So I am off the cuff.
A sweet moment for me tonight was realizing you worked on Shelter, and I worked on Shelter.
Remember the magic smoke, the beauty smoke? I was like, ooh, Hollywood's awesome, because the actress, she was about my age now. So they had this magic smoke, I called it. But it was basically the fog machine that blew all this smoke in front of the lens that made everything look beautiful because you're behind, like, you know, 6 inches of smoke. And so this guy, this DP, remember him? He doesn't work that much. He blew smoke in every scene. I mean, tons of it. So I thought Hollywood was just all going to be like magic smoke. I'm like, where's the magic smoke? Where is that magic smoke? But that was just in Arkansas.
But like me, you realized that everyone from Hollywood was just crazy.
They were crazy. Yes. That was a very crazy set. Did you notice how everybody after the first day started wearing more and more makeup and shorter skirts?
All right, so how about our story and storyteller tonight? What y'all think? Thank you so much, Monica Staggs, for being on our Tin Roof Project here at Tales from the South. Thank you to our live audience, and thank you to UALR Public Radio. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle publication at aymag.com. Tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library. Additional support provided by the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau and the Oxford American, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing. You can download and listen to our podcast on our website. More can be found at talesfromthesouth.com. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, for another edition of Tales from the South. Good night, everybody.
Writer accommodations provided by Robin Wood Bed and Breakfast. Studio time by Infrared Studio Productions. Graphics by Robin Steves at Studio B. Thanks for helping keep the art of Southern style storytelling alive. And we'll see you next week, either on this station or at Starving Artist Cafe, for another edition of Tales from the South.